Good morning, Mount Olivet. This is Resurrection Sunday, and we're glad that you're with us on today. Our message comes from 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verses 1 through 11. That is 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verses 1 through 11. Now, brothers and sisters, I want to remind you of the gospel I preached to you, which you received and on which you have taken your stand. By this gospel you are saved if you hold firmly to the word I preached to you. Otherwise, you have believed in vain. For what I received, I pass on to you as the first importance, that Christ died for our sins, according to the scriptures, that he was buried, that he was raised on the third day, according to the scriptures, and that he appeared to Cephas and then to the 12. After that, he appeared to more than 500 of the brothers and sisters at the same time, most of whom are still living, though some have fallen asleep. Then he appeared to James, then to all the apostles, and last of all, he appeared to me also, as to one abnormally born, for I am the least of the apostles and do not even deserve to be called an apostle, because I persecuted the church of God. But by the grace of God, I am what I am, and his grace to me was not without effect. No, I worked harder than all of them, yet not I, but the grace of God that was with me. Whether then it is I or they, this is what we preach, and this is what you believe. Let us pray. Gracious God, Lord, we thank you for this opportunity to share your word with your people. Lord, may you continue to bless your people and encourage them and edify them through your word. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen. I want to share this morning from the subject, I'm glad for a day like this. I'm glad for a day like this. In 1958, a group of teenagers from Passaic High School in New Jersey named Shirley, Beverly, Addie, and Doris formed a group known as the Shirelles. The Shirelles were known throughout the end of the 50s and early 60s. They were one of the few girl groups that wrote their own hit songs. In 1961, one of those songs climbed to number 4 on the pop chart and number 2 on the R&B music chart. That song was Mama Said. Shirley would lead by saying, Mama said there'll be days like this. There'll be days like this, Mama said. And the rest would say, Mama said, Mama said. Shirley would then say, I went walking the other day. Everything was going fine. I met a little boy named Billy Joe, and then I almost lost my mind. However, my brothers and sisters, what is going on this day is causing us to lose more than our minds. When we first began this year, never could we have imagined how the coronavirus would so dramatically impact our lives. It doesn't matter who you are or where you are from, these days are affecting all of us. I stopped by this morning to remind us that even though our Easter service is simplified, it will not be stopped. Could this be the silver lining of a very dark COVID-19 cloud? The irony of all of this happening now in the midst of Passover and Easter should not be lost to any of us. I am convinced that God is speaking to the world this Easter in the midst of the coronavirus crisis. I don't believe he caused the pandemic, but he allowed it, and he's using it to accomplish his purposes. Through all the strife and strain, God is inviting us to stop and pause and think about what is really important. I believe it's by God's grace that he is providing for us this time, this opportunity to reacquaint ourselves, so to speak, with our families, for us to pay closer attention and never forget and realize the luxuries that we had in our normal everyday living. Like the blind man, we must call on his name and listen for his voice. Faith doesn't require sight, but it does demand that we put our full trust and obedience in the Lord. If there was ever a day that gives us hope, it is Resurrection Sunday. In fact, that's why the church gathers week by week on Sunday, the Lord's Day, for worship, rather than on Saturday, the Sabbath, to celebrate and commemorate the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. In fact, every Sunday is a celebration of the empty tomb, a celebration that Jesus is alive and well. It is the empty tomb of Jesus that gives us hope, hope in the here and now, and hope in the hereafter. And don't get the idea that the hope I'm talking about is a hope-so kind of hope. I'm talking about a no-so kind of hope. The hope of forgiveness, the hope of peace, the hope of assurance, the hope of heaven. And that hope is centered in the person of Jesus Christ. It certainly was for King David, who writes in Psalm 39:7, "My hope is in you." And later writes in Psalm 71:5, "For you are my hope, O Lord God, you are my trust from my youth." With your hope in the resurrected Jesus, you and I can make it. I don't know a sadder word in the English language than hopeless. There have been times in our lives that you and I have failed, but because we have Jesus, we never lost our hope. Worse than failing is hopeless. And that is what life is without Jesus. Simply hopeless. But what makes Resurrection Sunday a celebration is that it is a day that gives us hope. And that's what I want to talk about for a few minutes on this Easter Sunday morning, as we consider and think about being glad for a day like this. The first thing I want to draw your attention to is the text shows the announcement of the resurrection. Now, you talk about hope. God has done everything necessary for your sins to be forgiven, for your guilt to be removed, for peace to rule your life, and for you to know that you're on your way to heaven. So what did God do to make that possible? We'll look at this announcement beginning at verse number 3. This announcement really is in 3 parts. Jesus first has paid for our sins. Verse 3, that Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures. Now, it's not unusual for people to die. People die all the time. The Bible says in Hebrews 9:27, "And as it is appointed for men to die once, but after this judgment," that's one appointment that you and I are going to keep. That Christ died for our sins. You ought to circle the word "for." And here's why. The Greek word speaks of substitution. Now, what is a substitute? That's somebody who fills in for somebody else. And that is what Jesus did on the cross. He was your substitute and mine. He filled in for us. He took our place. He died for your death and mine so that we might live his life. That Christ died for our sins. Jesus paid the penalty for your sins before a holy God. He bled so that you might be forever blessed. He suffered that you might be forever saved. He died so that you might be forever delivered. I don't know about you, but I thank God for a day like this. Verse 3 continues on and says, not only does Christ die for our sins, but it's according to the scriptures. What scriptures are they talking about? I believe that they are referring to the Old Testament scriptures where, for example, Isaiah 53:5-6 declares, "But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement for our peace was upon him. And by his stripes, we are healed. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way, and the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all." When Jesus died on the cross, 25 prophecies recorded in the Old Testament were literally fulfilled within a few hours. Thank God for a day like this. But there's more to this announcement. Jesus has paid for our sin, but then Jesus has put our sin away. It's in verse 4 when it says, and that he was buried. Yes, Jesus died and then he was buried. Isaiah 53 and 9, and they made his grave with the wicked. So what does the burial of Jesus have to do with the gospel in a day like this? Listen to Jeremiah 31, 34 when he says, for I will forgive their iniquity and their sin, and I will remember no more. The word forgive means to put away. Can you see it? Jesus not only paid for our sin, he also put away our sin. It wasn't just buried in the tomb. Our sins were buried with him in that tomb. And that's a part of a day like this, that Jesus not only went to the cross for you, he went to the tomb for you. He not only took your place on the cross, he took your place in that tomb. That's why the burial of Jesus was a part of the announcement. For our sins were buried with Jesus in that tomb. Yes, Jesus paid for our sin. And yes, Jesus put away our sin. But notice in verse 4 that Jesus prevailed over our sin. Verse 4 not only says that he was buried, but then it goes on and say, and that he rose again the third day according to the scriptures. Now, when Paul announced in verse 3 that Jesus died for our sins, he used the past tense. When he announced in verse 4 that Jesus was buried, again, he used the past tense. But when he announced in verse 4 that Jesus rose again on the third day, he uses the present tense. It could be translated, and that he rose again the third day, and he continues to be risen. In other words, his was not physical resuscitation, it was physical resurrection. In other words, Jesus is alive to die no more. Yes, he was alive on Sunday, and he is alive on this Sunday, and he will be alive next Sunday and every day in between. We serve a risen Savior who is in the world today. No resurrection, no Easter, no Easter, no hope. Let me show you what I mean. We see the announcement of the resurrection, but then what about the absence of the resurrection? Let's pick it up in verse 12 through 19. Now, Christ preached that he has been raised from the dead. How do some among you say that there is no resurrection of the dead? But if there is no resurrection, or the absence of a resurrection of the dead, then Christ is not risen. And if Christ is not risen, then our preaching is empty and your faith is also empty. Yes, and we are found false witnesses of God because we have testified of God that he raised up Christ, whom he did not raise up, if in fact the dead do not rise. For if the dead do not rise, then Christ is not risen. And if Christ is not risen, your faith is futile. You are still in your sins. Then also those who have fallen asleep in Christ have perished. If in this life only we have hope in Christ, we are all of men the most pitiable. Suppose there had been no resurrection. Suppose Jesus Christ is still in the grave. Suppose we're living in the absence of a day like this. That's what Paul is talking about in these verses. Verse 14, and if Christ is not risen, then our preaching is empty. Sixth time, Paul says, if there had been no resurrection, our preaching is empty. That is, without purpose. Which would simply mean I've wasted the last 20 years of my life studying and preparing and preaching, and I would be better off going fishing this morning than being on here preaching the word of God if Jesus Christ is still in the grave. And you've wasted your time coming to church and in the last weeks dialing in to hear the preaching of God's word. There is no profit to preaching if Jesus is still in the grave. Your faith is also empty, as verse 14 exclaims. Romans 10:9 simply says, but if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you shall be saved. That is, unless Jesus is still in the grave. After all, who wants to put their faith in Jesus if Jesus is dead? How do you know Jesus is the Son of God? How do you know that the Bible is true? Well, let me tell you, God brought Jesus Christ out of the tomb, and by doing so, placed his stamp of approval on all that Jesus said and did. Without the resurrection, our preaching is empty. Our faith is empty. Our witness of God is false. Verse 15, yes, and we are found false witnesses of God because we have testified of God that he raised up Christ, whom he did not raise up, if in fact the dead do not rise. If there is the absence of Easter and Jesus is still in the grave, it's not that we're merely mistaken. Oh no, he's saying that we are false witnesses. Do you know what a false witness is? It's somebody who sits in a courtroom and knowingly and willingly perjures himself and becomes a liar. A false witness tells a lie. Now somebody says, how do you know that the disciples were telling the truth about the resurrection of Jesus? I mean, how do you know what Paul said beginning of verse 5 is true? He was seen by Cephas and then by the 12. Verse 6, he was seen by over 500 brethren at once. Verse 7, he was seen by James and then by all the apostles. Verse 8, he was also seen by me also. Over and over, Paul says of the resurrected Jesus, he was seen. He was seen. He was seen. How can we know for sure that what they said was true regarding the resurrection of Jesus? Because most of them paid with their own blood for their testimony regarding Jesus' resurrection. They suffered for it. They bled for it. They died because they believed a man may live for a lie, but he won't die for one. They said Jesus is alive. And because of it, they sealed their testimony with their lives. And if Jesus Christ is still in the grave, those disciples were fakes. They were frauds. They were fools. And they created the biggest scam on earth. I tell you something else about the absence of the resurrection. If Jesus is still in the grave, you and I are still in our sins. Verse 17, and if Christ is not risen, your faith is futile. You are still in your sins. Futile is a different word from empty that we used earlier. The word empty in verse 14 simply means without purpose, without result. But this word futile means a lie, the absence of truth. In other words, if Jesus is not risen, if Jesus is still in the grave, then your faith and my faith is a lie. Your faith and my faith has no truth in it. No resurrection, no Savior, no Savior, no forgiveness, no forgiveness. Then the penalty of our sin is upon us. And if the penalty of your sin and mine is upon you and me, then we are destined for death and hell because we are still in our sin. Now watch this. If Jesus is still in the grave, the dead are forever gone. Verse 18 simply says, then also those who have fallen asleep in Christ have perished. That means that your godly mother, your godly father, your godly siblings, your godly friends are gone forever, and that you will never see them again. They are in the grave to decay, gone forever. And Paul adds in verse 19, if in this life only we have hope in Christ, we are all of men the most pitiable. In other words, if this is all there is, we're in big trouble. Life without Jesus is a big joke. Life without Jesus leads to a hole in the ground. Life without Jesus is hopeless, and hopeless is worse than failing. But thank God for a day like this, that it doesn't end there. We talked about the announcement of the resurrection, and we talked about what would happen if there was no resurrection. But finally, I want to give us hope in the accomplishment of the resurrection. Here it is in verse 20. But now Christ is risen from the dead. Because Christ is risen from the dead, he's taken the sting out of death. He's taken the gloom out of the grave. He's taken the dread out of death and given us hope that is sure. But now Christ is risen from the dead. Last week, Sandy Brown tried to calm her son, Freddie, alone and scared in a hospital intensive care unit. His father had died a few days earlier. Freddie, just 20, was worried he would die too. Talking on FaceTime throughout the night, Sandy recited scriptures and tried to slow his breathing. She sang spiritual songs to coax him to sleep. Like a mom